Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. Still getting in some queries for Karen Prendergast, our interior designer. And my apologies to you, because I got so caught up in the conversation, I didn't look at the screens. But we will put those queries together, and Karen will address them next time round, if that's okay. Right now, it is time for this.
For every problem, there's a solution. Dear Phil, on Tip Today with Phil Prendergast.
You still haven't gotten used to that intro, Phil, have you? After all these years.
I can sing along to it in my mind.
it's a strange one indeed. Good to see you, Phil.
And it's good to see you, Fran. How are you keeping?
Any news or any gossip or anything that I should know about or anything?
I see. No. Rain.
No.
Waterlogged.
Yeah. All this talk of politics and elections and political parties and stuff, does it not whet your appetite to sort of
throw
the old caffeine back in there?
But look, Fran, will you stop? I'd rather be an elderly lemon than a bitter lemon these days. Look, I wish every success to those that go for it, and what's for them won't pass them. Yeah. And I do think it's an opportunity for people to really think about who will represent us and what they will do for us. And I think it's very important to actually engage with it. And people that are not on the register have no say, so there's no point bitching about it afterwards.
Okay.
So do get registered, do vote, even, you know, it does not matter who or what you will vote for, but it has to be, you know, you have to have your say.
Go,
that's our only opportunity.
I know it was difficult for you when you were engaged, but is it even more difficult now, or is that just my perception?
No, I think it is more difficult now, because there's a lot of... There's a lot of subliminal messages even on the like, and as you know, I'm not a fan of Facebook, but there's a lot of messages out there. When you see paid adverts, a lot of people just glaze over and flick past them, and they are quite costly.
Mm.
So there's a lot of work in getting elected. It's not like before, where you could go outside the church and get up in the back of a truck with your whatever sort of a speaker you had, and you know, appeal to your base or your people or the parish or whatever. It is much more difficult now, and there's a lot of work in it. I have to say myself, the part I loved most about it was I used to just lose weight when I went canvassing, because you were just
so demanding.
Walking.
And I was talking to Michael Murphy, and I know you wanted to wish Michael well. Throwing his hat in the ring this time around as well. But again, he was saying he had to engage with family and work and stuff before he made that decision, because it's all...
It is. Now, he's in a very lucky position, I suppose, because he hasn't got young children. But I don't think that debars people with young children from running. I'm not saying that. But he's in a lucky position where he has a lot of experience. He has a lot of background. He has a lot of connections in Europe. Mm. He's on, you know, he goes to Europe on a monthly basis. Mm. So he has a lot of knowledge, and he's a very good representative, you know, locally. As are the others now. There's,
of course.
You know, I'm not...
Were your kids young, by the way? They were young enough.
They were, yeah.
When you were MEP?
Yeah. Well, they weren't that young. I suppose they were teens.
Yeah,
they were teens.
Yeah. And is it hard to juggle everything?
No, I have a great husband. Has to be said. Ray Prendergast, best probably husband in Clonmel, probably.
And the most patient,
absolutely. Delighted I was gone for a few days every week.
I didn't say that. All right, let's have a look at the letters then. The first one, Dear Phil, I'm a man in my 50s. I've been married to my wife for over 25 years. We have 4 children, all teens. My wife worked before we had our children, but after we had our second, she decided to quit work to stay at home. We managed okay financially, but it was always a stretch and a lot of pressure, but thankfully we got through it. My wife decided last year to get more involved in things outside of the home, as the children were now older and able to look after themselves, and most of them are now driving. So she joined a couple of local groups and took up a new hobby of mothers and others, football. call. I didn't think she'd last because she wouldn't be the most sporty, but she loves it. No issue with it, but the gang she plays with have become very close and they meet up a lot outside of football. They go for dinner every couple of weeks. They go out for the night. They go for lunch. And this on top of heading away a couple of weekends a month for matches. It's then left to me to do everything at home, like dropping the kids to work or wherever they're going and doing the housework. I don't mind doing it, but I'm sick of working all week and then at weekends being busy with stuff I don't want to do while she goes off with no regard for us. I mentioned it to her and she said she gave enough of her life looking after us and we were all big enough and bold enough to look after ourselves now. I thought that's unfair. It felt like she was saying like being with us was a chore. I would like my wife back. What can I do? Ah, the poor pet.
Look, first of all, he said his wife worked before we had our children and after we had our second, she decided to quit work. She didn't decide to quit work. I would say she thought getting childminding, going out to work, the cost of going to work, because there are costs for people going to work, at the cost of paying for baby minding is, it is now, it's astronomical. It was fairly phenomenal then. So I think this must have been a decision that made it made sense for her to be at home. And I'd be absolutely, you know, because they managed okay financially. Mm. There was a lot of pressure, but they got through it. And, you know, she decided now at this period of her life that obviously she's in her 50s as well. I think it's fantastic that she wants to go out and has gone out and made a life. He said he has no issue with it, but the gang she plays with have become very close and they meet up outside football. But isn't it great to have a sort of a system that is a system of support or allows people to have a choice about their lives? Would someone always have to do the same job and always be there for children that now most of them are driving and the husband is complaining he has to drive them? Why is he driving them if they can all drive or most of them can drive? So, you know, I mean, he said, I don't mind doing it, but I'm sick of working all week and then at weekends. Well, welcome to the world of a woman. Because they have to do this. And there isn't an equal share in looking after the laundry and the ironing and the bed changing and all of that that has to be done. Quite frequently, it is seen as woman's work. And I'm sorry to say that like as if I'm very feminist, because you know well I'm not. But like, this man is just fed up because his wife is having a life.
Isn't the most telling line, I would just like my wife back.
Yeah,
and it's not having the wife back, it's having the old regime
back.
Oh no,
he wants the wife back to do the housework, do the cooking, do the shopping,
the running
do the
around,
ironing,
the driving
making
around,
the beds, driving the lads, picking him up from the pub. Fuck that.
That's what he wants back.
That's
really,
what he wants back, yeah. So look, I have sympathy for him because his life has changed, but it has actually changed for the better of their relationship because the wife would have much more to talk about. Mm. There is only so much you can say about peeling paint or staining the ceiling that has to be dealt with, or there's a bulb need to be changed in the higher place that I can't reach, or I need to go and paint the outside of the house, you know, and he's saying, use your tongue for it. It is wagging enough. But you know what I mean? It's like he's just fed up because she has a life outside of her kids, and I think she's absolutely right.
Is he a bit jealous of that?
Possibly
think?
Because, you know, if you've somebody that's been always there, it's very easy to take them for granted, and it's very easy to assume that that's always going to be the way. But it's not always going to be the way, because now people have personalities, and the fact that someone in their 50s, I mean, I would break, as you know, all of my legs again if I went near a football. I know I would. But I mean, I think this is fantastic that this woman has done this.
Yeah, and the comments about her, she's not very sporty, so he couldn't understand how she loves this. But of course, it's the whole social aspect.
Not only that, but I mean, if they're all in the same age group, they're not going to be, they're not Pele galloping around the field or whoever the person would be now that's football
the
person.
I don't know
who they are now either. But Beckham maybe, bended like Beckham. But they probably just, they do their own thing. Yeah. So it's like we go to dancing on a Wednesday night in the, you know, the Dance Yourself Fit thing. It's fantastic crack. It's fantastic crack. But I mean, there's a lot of us that are there now when we've leapt, and your man has his back to us, which is a good thing most of the time because the waving is done when he turns back around. But anyway, look, I just think that it's hard for the man to readjust and to be doing the housework now that he has to do because she's not there. But I mean, there has to be a little bit of equality as well, because it wouldn't be fair to leave it all to him. Yes. And because she's done it for years doesn't mean that she gets years off. It has to be shared.
And the fact that she sees this as her time, is that common, do you think?
I think...
They've done the rearing, they've done all of the obligations and all of the loving too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in it that people do need to have different hobbies, to try out different things. Sometimes they're a challenge and sometimes you think, oh no, I couldn't walk into that anywhere on my own. I can tell you right now, you can do anything on your own. You do not have to have a sidekick. Yes. You do not have to have a person that you're dependent on to be able to walk in, because sometimes it's a confidence thing. But this woman has gone out there, they're having the crack, and they've discovered that they have more in common than just the old football that they're throwing around. And they're doing things now, and she's enjoying her life. And I do think it's difficult for the man because he is just not used to it. But I do think she has kind of an obligation to still, you know, she needs to be helping still at the weekend and not be gone all the time. But it's not every weekend, so...
What's wrong? He says a couple of weekends a month for matches, but I mean, I presume that's just going to...
That's 2 weekends a month. That's fine.
It's probably just a day in each weekend. Anyway, would you go so far as to say he needs to get over himself and sort of...
Well, he needs to just readjust his attitude, because he's going to be unhappy if he doesn't. Yeah. And he sees a wife that's now happy and she's delighted with life and she's going out. And, you know, when you get into your 50s, you need to be able to do things you want to do rather than always be focused on the shopping list, the repair list, the children list,
the ever edition
cost
time.
List.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had things here on where you need a different dinner for perfect that as well. I mean, give him a tin opener as a present for Christmas and say, go work away, lads. You don't want to learn.
I'd say he's delighted he wrote you.
Well, I don't want to, you know, I'm only giving him the viewpoint because he's put an awful lot into this. He said she decided to quit work. I'm sure that was a decision that was suitable for her. And he also said, I have no issue with it, but the gang she plays with have become very close, because that's what happens when you meet a group of people that are of like mind. And he said, I don't mind doing it, but I'm sick of working all week and then at weekends being busy with stuff. Whereas she is working all week, even if that work is inside in the home, and also doing it on the weekends. And I appreciate that people need equality, but they also need to realise that, you know what, they have grown kids now, and if them lumpins can't get off their bums and do some work in the house as well, it's all a matter. If they're driving, they can have a shopping list and go and do the shopping.
Listener says, just listening to that letter to Phil, by the way, I do most of the housework here. I work full time out of the home, but my husband works very long hours, so I do most of the homework and the child minding. I'm wondering, is that woman in the letter doing any housework? If she's not working now, could she not have most of the housework done before the weekend for the husband? Just the thought. And by the way, I'm a female.
No, and she makes a very valid point. But this woman is only going out two weekends. So, I mean, I'm sure she's still doing the work, Fran. It's just that, you know, when you start to have a whinge about something and it starts to get in on you a bit, it tends to focus on what she's doing. It's not what she's not doing. So I would say that she still has her... You still have your days for doing the beds. You still have your days for doing whatever, you know.
I'm sure, indeed. The second letter, dear Phil, my son is 18 and has always been a bit of a rogue, but he's a good lad, really. He likes going out, he likes his style, and he really likes girls. He has had a slew of girlfriends over the years. The ones I've met always seem nice, but it's his latest girlfriend that has given me some cause for concern. My son turned 18 last November and is in his first year of an apprenticeship. This new girl has just turned 16 and is in TY. I think she's too young for him personally, but kept my opinions to myself. That was until my daughter started making comments that it was weird and people are talking about it. I asked my son about her and he did not think she was a bit young, but he said, no, it wasn't an issue. I know there isn't much I can do about it, but do other people think it's too much of an age gap?
You see, this would cause me, and I suppose it's the way it's written in, her son is 18 and he's a good lad. That's great. He really likes girls. That's also fine. He's had a slew of girlfriends. Now, I don't know how many a slew is.
I don't know.
So, I mean, a slew of girlfriends over the years, they wouldn't really, I think, have been officially girlfriends over the years. They're probably friends that were girls. I do think that the young one in transition year at 16 years of age, well, first of all, if they have a relationship that's more than just platonic, that's an issue because it's illegal to have a relationship of a sexual nature with somebody that's under 17.
Ah.
And that's a law. So I think...
Is that the age of consent, is it?
Yeah.
All right. Oh.
So her son...
That puts a whole other look on it.
Well,
now, it
that's what screeched out of me. Well, that's because I spent a lot of time teaching sexual health in schools.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for them to, you know, now they can get all sorts of things as contraception. But it's still, it's very, at a time when she's still at school and he is now in an apprenticeship, I think that this girl is too young and I think he's very young himself. Mm. And I think he's probably got a lot of maturing to do. And I would, you know, the mom said she asked her son about her and he did not think she was a bit young and it said it wasn't an issue. But sure, it is an issue if the mom is asking him questions like that.
Mm.
And if people are talking about it and his sister... started making comments. There is an issue there because the family dynamic is a bit upset maybe by the cavalier attitude he seems to have because, I mean, at 18 years of age and he's only just turned 18, like, he's had a slew of girlfriends over the years. At what stage did this fella start having girlfriends as opposed to friends that were girls?
It's an interesting one.
I mean, there's a little bit of a worry.
Yeah.
And it's not that there's too much of an age gap, but it is the ages that they are that makes that. There is no age gap if they were both 20 and 22. There's no age gap.
Mm.
But there is an age gap when someone is under age.
Yeah, so that needs to be taken into account. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. All right, let us move on to our third one then. There, Phil, my mum, sadly passed away last week after a long battle with cancer. We're all devastated, but it's my dad's behaviour that has really upset me. From when my mother was told that her disease was terminal, she told us all what she wanted when she died, what music she wanted, what she wanted to be dressed in, and was very adamant that she wanted to be cremated. We didn't give it another thought until the night she died. My dad announced that she would be buried. I reminded him about her request and he said she wouldn't mind, that he wanted her buried nearby and to be buried with her, and it was his decision to make. I got very upset that her wishes were being disregarded and raised it with the family. Some agreed with me but said they didn't want to rock the boat, while others just said let Dad do what he wants and we can always exhume her after he's gone and fulfil her wishes. I think that's absolutely crazy. I know by the time you read this letter, the funeral will be done, and in all likelihood, my poor mum will be buried against her wishes. But how can I make peace with that? She asked for so little of us when she was alive, and the one thing she wanted, she didn't get. It's so upsetting. That's a deep letter.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. First of all, I just would express my deepest condolences
Absolutely.
To all of the family and the people affected, because even this letter will trigger other people that have had losses, and it's very, very difficult. And I really, really offer my condolences to the family here. You know, the mother made decisions and what she wanted and what she wanted to wear and you know, that she wanted to be cremated. The father wasn't, he was dealing with the news that she was terminal, and he was dealing with the idea of being without her. And for a lot of people, and don't get me wrong, but for a lot of people, they like to go visit graves.
Mm, yes.
I know you can go visit cremation spots now as well.
Well,
for a lot of people, it's not. And some people like to keep the ashes and small bits of them and fling them places that people might have wished. But it seems as if this might have been, the woman may have thought that that was the easiest thing for her family if she was just cremated, because then they don't have the ritual of the burial and the people coming up in the graveyard. And you know what it's like, and we've all experienced this. And it's like there's quite a rite, if you like, of if you'll pardon the pun, a rite of passage. And people get comfort from meeting people and all the rest of it, whereas the cremation is they go in and they go off on wheels through the curtains to lovely music, and that's it. There's no...
Yes, I've never further. Been at
I have, yeah, I have for family members, yeah.
Yes.
And I would I can understand that the family are very, they're very upset, and they'll be upset listening to this letter being read out today, because it brings back, as if they're not already feeling it anyway. I think they should have a chat with the father, and, you know, the idea that you would exhume somebody that had been buried because you felt their wishes.
It's very extreme, isn't it?
It's not only extreme, it's very traumatic.
Yeah.
And it's also not very, any body that had to be exhumed, they have to do all sorts of building around it make sure that there's nothing going to be.
And there would be legal difficulties around that, I guess. I mean,
I honestly don't know anything about the legal side of exhuming a body just so as they could be cremated, because it seems like an awful lot of cost for something that has happened. And I'm sure that the father was just on a more traditional thought process than the mother maybe, or the daughters, but yes. I feel the mother's decision may have been influenced by her diagnosis and the amount of time that she knew she had left, and I feel that she was trying to save them the emotions that are associated with burials.
But I can understand the father wanting access to the grave.
I can understand, but I think everyone can understand that, because you do like to go somewhere where you know that their body is, and even though that spirit is gone from there, it represents what you knew. And there are a lot of people get solace from going to graveyards, from maintaining the grave, from putting the flowers, from all sorts of, they get all sorts of comfort for being able to go to a physical place where somebody is, and even though you know their spirit is somewhere else and hopefully it's free as a bird and they're back and they're able to be with you in spirit, it is when somebody is burned, there is nothing left of them except the ashes. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't like to be cremated. I don't think I would, but I just think it's a difficult time. I really offer my sincerest condolences to this family. Yeah. It's a very sad loss and it's a very sad time. Yeah. But I think that it would be a really good idea for the writer of the letter here to go and talk to a bereavement counsellor. They're freely available. And available freely, and she should talk, because I think it will really, really help in coming to terms with her sad loss, with her father's decision, and with the thinking around it.
And
because
should the family take into account, Phil, the fact the father knew obviously his wife intimately,
absolutely,
and would have known her far better, I suppose.
Yeah, and I do feel that, because she got, once she was told her disease was terminal, she said what she wanted, and then she died.
Yes.
So God rest her lovely soul. But I don't think the way of her managing her funeral was wrong for the father, but the family heard different. They heard that she wanted to be cremated, and I feel she just wanted it all very neatly tied up and bound, and wanted to save them
what
all
was
the
best
other
for
part
them.
Of it. Yeah.
What was best for them.
So look, Fran, it's a very sad thing
Isn't
for them,
just,
and I'm sure the family are still upset, and they will be upset.
But you'd hate to think there was a divide in the family because of this.
I think bereavement counselling will actually sort that out for him a lot, because they're bereavement counsellors are actually quite brilliant at what they do, and it's a very cathartic intervention, because they are able to. It's not all about that we will talk this out. It's really, really, really helpful.
Phil, it's always a pleasure. Thanks very much indeed. And if you have a problem you'd like Phil to have a look at, you can email us here. It's very easy to do so. It's tiptoday@tipfm.com. And if you put Dear Phil in the subject line, we will know what you're at. Thanks very much indeed, Phil. We'll take a break, back in just a moment.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.